Thanks to HoneyBook for supporting the Productivity Show. If you run your own business, you're used to doing it all. But if you're struggling to get through your to-do list, HoneyBook can help. Go to honeybook.com/TPS for 50% off your first year. Thanks also to Grammarly for supporting the Productivity Show. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/TPS to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get the important things done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. So think back to when you started your productivity journey. Are there maybe some things you know now that you wish you did back then? Is there anything you do differently? Or maybe you're just getting started and want to make sure you get off on the right foot. Well, in this episode, we'll be talking about the things that we would change if we were starting over from scratch and a lot of the lessons that we've learned along the way. You can learn the things that we've did well and the areas of growth that we've experienced. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/274. And now, on with the show. All right, welcome everybody and welcome Tan. How are you doing today?
It's a little hot in here, so I had to turn on the AC for once. It is, as we're recording right now, it's the end of October, and I woke up with my sweater on. I was like, oh yeah, it's fall weather. It's perfect. I even posted on my Instagram today, like, hey, it's time to wear leather jackets again. And now I'm wearing a t-shirt as we're recording this because it's just so hot right now. It's like 30 Celsius here, which is, I think, high 80s or low 90s. So feeling good.
Yeah, I remember I visited Austin around this time, maybe it was like a year or two ago. And in the morning, I was like, oh, it's finally a decent temperature in Austin. But Austinites were walking around in like winter coats and hat beanies and stuff like that. For me, it was just right. All right. But we are not here to talk about the weather in Canada versus Texas. We are here to talk about the things we've learned in our productivity journey. And if we were going to start all over again, the things we would do differently if we started from scratch. But before we do that, as you know, if you've listened to the podcast before, we always like to start with our top three resources, three things that we're loving right now that are making us more productive or just making us happier. We want to do that rapid fire for you. So Tan, I see you've put three resources here. So maybe you can share your top three resources with the audience.
The first one is an app called Thanks, but you spell it as T-H-N-K-S, so without the A. So it's an app for buying gifts for people and making it really easy and making it personalized. So I have like lunches and dinners with people all the time, and sometimes I want to send them a gift afterwards, or I just want to be really thoughtful for buying somebody a birthday gift. And they have like a collection of gift ideas already in the app. And so you just pick something, write a quick note, and then they'll ship it to them. And then you just get charged within the app. So it makes it super simple. And it's a platform that you can use online or on your mobile phone, no matter the platform you use. So definitely check that out. My second resource is a product called the Jason Mark Quick Wipes. So if you're somebody like me who loves to wear sneakers, then you need this, because if you wear like white sneakers or you just wear shoes that get easily dirty in general, I have a pack of quick wipes with me from Jason Mark at all times. So I even have it packed in my carry-on so that anytime my shoes get dirty, I just pull out a quick wipe, wipe them down, and they're clean and looking fresh as normal. So definitely recommend you have those in place or even use it at home. And then the third and last one is a green tea brand called Republic of Tea. So the green tea that I have is called Tea of Inquiry, which is the full leaf green tea. We'll have links to all of that in the show notes. But if you're somebody who, like me, who loves to drink tea over coffee and you kind of get sick and tired of the green tea you've always been drinking, give this one a spin. I've been really enjoying this one, which was recommended by my executive assistant who used to work in a tea shop. So she knew exactly what I wanted. So those are my top three favorite resources as of lately.
Awesome. And like you said, the links to all this and everything we're going to be talking about today is in the show notes at theproductivityshow.com/274. All right. So like I said, we were talking about, this actually came out of a conversation we were having internally, and we were talking about the way we used to do things and things that we just wish we knew when we were starting our productivity journey and the sorts of things we would do differently. So we thought this would make a great podcast episode. So that's where this came from. And it's always a good idea to do an exercise like this where you look back at the things you used to do and evaluate how you used to do it and think of the mistakes is a little strong, although sometimes it is mistakes, but just the way you've grown. And we talked about this concept of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset in TPS 171. So you can go check that out. But you always want to be looking at the things you do and think of how you can do things better. Now, the danger with a process like this is when you do look backwards, sometimes there are mistakes we made, or sometimes if you stop and think about the things you've done and how you can improve, it can be tempting to kind of go down this rabbit hole of bad decisions where you think, oh man, maybe you think about a situation you did or a mistake you made and you start feeling bad about yourself. That's not our intention with this episode. This is a very positive episode, even though we might be talking about the things we've could have changed. We've all been there. It's all about learning from the past and moving forward. And we just talked about this a few episodes ago in TPS 269. It's never too late to change things that you're doing and make improvements. So if some of the stuff we talk about resonates with you, it's never too late to change it.
I thought this would be a really fun topic to go over just because you and I have been in the game for so long. And it's sometimes easy to assume that what we know is, general knowledge and everybody should know this. But it's kind of fun to kind of go back and say, hey, what if we were in this beginner mindset again and knowing what we know now, how would we do things differently? And we came up with this little framework. And if you've been following the Productivity Show or Asian Efficiency for a while, then we have this T framework where we focus on time, energy, and attention. And this is the three pillars of productivity. So if you want to be productive, you want to maximize everything in your life, you really want to master your time, you want to master your energy, you want to master your attention, right? So if you have all three, you are Asian efficient, as we like to say. But if you miss one of them or multiple of them, then you can't really be really productive, right? So for example, you could have no time, but all the energy and attention in the world, but then you're overwhelmed, right? Just like if you have time and attention, but you don't have any energy, then you're simply exhausted. You can have all the right tools in the world, know exactly what you need to do, but you have no energy to do it, then nothing still gets done, right? And if you have the time and energy to do stuff, but you're focusing on the wrong things, right? You're distracted. Guess what? You're going to be wasting your time and life away. And so we want to make sure that we master those three currencies, right? The three pillars of productivity. And so as we're going through today's episode, we're going to share some of our best practices and one of the things we wish we had done differently, knowing what we know now through this lens of today. And then we'll have some bonus tips at the end as well. So if you're not familiar with the T framework, we have an episode on that, right? Just go to TPS 218. So just go to theproductivityshow.com/218. Or if you're in your podcast app, just scroll back a little bit, try to find 218, and you'll be able to find that episode there on the T framework.
So let's start with time. So we're going to be talking about this stuff through the lens of the T framework. So why don't we start with the one that most people struggle with, I would say, which is time. So the T from the T framework is time. So what we want to do is we're going to each share the things that we've kind of learned and we would change as we go through each element of the T framework. So Tan, why don't you start with the things you've learned from time?
So when it comes to the first pillar of productivity, time, I would say the best thing you can do, knowing what I know now, is to follow a proven method or framework. What I see a lot of people do when they first start learning about productivity, right? They find a book somewhere, they read about a blog post somewhere online, they maybe even listen to a podcast like ours, and they'll try to create their own personal productivity system, right? We all think that we're unique, right? And we tend to want to make our own productivity system. And what I have found in my own personal life and also just working with so many people is that if you start off with the foundation thinking that you can create your own productivity system from scratch, you're going to end up experimenting a lot. You're going to end up trying a lot of different apps. You're going to be switching a lot of apps a lot of times. You're going to jump from GTD to the 12-week year to Agile results to then doing something in Trello. And you're just end up wasting so much time, right? So what I would say is the best thing to do to save time and actually get the most benefit right out of the gate would be to follow a proven method, whether that is something like GTD or 12-week year or whatever, right? So we have all of these tools and systems in place, and we cover those on AsianEfficiency.com more extensively than we do on the podcast. And we also have courses about this as well inside the dojo. So if you just follow a methodology and you really stick to it, right, then over time, you can make it your own. And that's the thing I would say everybody should do instead of trying to make your own system from scratch.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels with this to exercise. This is one thing you hear a lot of people struggle with exercise and getting fit and that sort of thing is they'll do one thing, one workout routine or one diet or whatever for a while. Then they hear about something else, so they jump to another thing. Then they hear about something else, so they jump to another thing. And they never really make progress on their goals because they're jumping around. I know for me, there's two kind of events that have been pretty seminal, I would say, for me. Number one was discovering GTD, so which I know a lot of people getting things done, which I know a lot of people in the productivity show audience can probably relate to, is that was the big thing for me at the start for changing the way I was doing things at work. Super, super helpful for me. And then the other thing that was really eye-opening is when I joined AE and we had our Scrum system pretty working pretty well by the time that I joined. And it was really eye-opening for me, the power of a framework, the power of, in this case, Scrum, which is what we use, of how you can just get a lot of stuff done in short sprints, really make progress towards your goals. And that's because the team follows this framework and we're all bought in and committed to it. If we were just kind of thinking, oh, what should we do today? Oh, how's it going on that project? Oh, it's going fine, you know, that sort of thing. There's no way we would be making the progress that we make. So this really, really nailed it down for me, the power of frameworks.
If you have something going on already and it's working, I would say 80% or so, just stick to it. Don't try to wonder about all these other systems or platforms that are out there, because the last 20% is not going to make that big of a difference for most people. So if you're following GTD as an example and it's working 80% for what you need to do, honestly, just stick to that, right? Because switching over to something else for like the last 10, 20% of like optimizing your settings and tweaks and little things is oftentimes just not worth it. The switching cost is just really expensive. So when Brooks came on, I told him, do not move anything. Do not change anything. This is working. Do not try to screw this up, Brooks.
But then I changed things and screwed them up. But that's just what I do.
Well, as the operations person, you have a little bit more leeway, I would say. So it all worked fine. The other thing I would say that I think a lot of people would benefit from when it comes to managing their time better and really optimizing that part of their life is to become really good at your calendar. So become a calendar ninja, become familiar with the calendar apps that are out there, pick one that you really love and like to use, and just stick to it. And the more you can treat your calendar as like, this is the holy grail, this is like the do all be all. If it's on there, it needs to be done on that point in time, then you're good to go, right? So the more you have integrity around your calendar, meaning that if it's on there and you commit to it and you stick to it, the more time efficient you become over time, right? And then from there, you can kind of like build miscellaneous workflows and systems around that, such as, you know, booking a scheduler link with somebody, right? Using a scheduler link yourself, like schedule1s.com or Calendly or something like that, right? Which we're big fans of. But it starts with the foundation of using a calendar and really sticking to it. And I usually recommend that you use a digital calendar, such as Google Calendar or even iCloud Calendar, and make that your foundation, because it just has so many syncing opportunities. Most apps integrate with them. And also any sort of third-party tool that you want to use down the line, such as a scheduler, will usually work with one of those two. So if you have the opportunity to use a calendar like that, really become good at it, right? So it's worthwhile getting to know the shortcuts of your calendar app, right? So if you're using something like BusyCal, which is my favorite calendar app, you want to know, like, how do you create a new event or a new thing on your calendar, right? How do you move stuff around? How do you change the advanced views and stuff like that? And the more you focus on that, the more time efficient you naturally become over time.
This is the thing about people using calendar, and we're talking digital calendars here. I'm sure 99.99% of people just open up their calendar, look at it, and don't change anything. And that's totally legit. But there is a lot of power in making your calendar exactly how you like to see it. So I know for you, Tan, with BusyCal, one of the things you really like it is the power it gives you for changing around the views and only and seeing a certain number of days, changing it to start on Monday, which we're all a big fan of here on the Productivity Show. We like to make our calendar start on Monday. And this is especially important when you're working with other people, and it could be working in a co-working sense or in a family sense. If you have your spouse and your kids all going off the same calendar, it becomes really, really important that that calendar is sacred, and everything, if it's not on the calendar, it's not happening, because otherwise people start double booking things. People aren't where they're supposed to be, and it just becomes a mess. So yeah, becoming a calendar ninja, great tip.
The next tip I have for managing time more efficiently and more effectively would be to learn the Pomodoro technique. So we have a blog post on this. I won't go in too much detail now because we have so much other stuff to go through. But the basic premise is you want to set a timer for 25 minutes, focus on just doing one thing, and then once the timer goes off, take a 5-minute break, kind of recoup, just walk around a little bit, drink some water, right? And then continue with your task or move on to the next task. So that's called the Pomodoro technique, or the concept or strategy is called time boxing. So this is something I would recommend for most beginners because it gets you in flow and you'll be able to get really good at focusing on just doing one thing at a time the more you do this. And this is how over time you just get more stuff done and you manage your time better that way too, right? So Pomodoro technique, highly recommend that. And one of the things I also want to mention is that some of the things that I've tried have not worked for me whatsoever. So if this is helpful to some of you, then I'm doing my job and that makes me really happy. But one strategy that did not work for me whatsoever was to schedule every 30 minutes of my day on my calendar. So I would say, I have to write this at 8 o'clock, and then I would have to do this at 8:30. Then I would have to do this at 9, and then I have to do that at 9:30. That just drove me crazy. And this is coming from somebody who's really a big stickler for using calendars and sticking to it as much as possible. And even I could not make this work for me. So this is one thing I hope, you know, if you're somebody out there listening who has tried this and you go, oh man, I've heard this from so many people, like this should work. It did not work for me. So maybe it won't work for you either. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of stuff we hear about, you think it should work. And like, I know a lot of people that are really, really into, some people call it hyper scheduling every month. My wife actually is that way. If you look at her Outlook calendar for work, every second is blocked. And for her, if she doesn't have time associated with it, even phoning her mom to ask her if the kids can come over for dinner or something, if that's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. And it works really well for her. But it's great that you're mentioning that you're giving people an out, saying just because it works for some people, it's okay if some of the stuff, even some of the stuff we talk about, it's okay if it doesn't work for you. It's no problem.
How about you, Brooks? What are some of the things that you recommend beginners do?
Well, one thing that I found really, really helpful, and I didn't do a great job of this in the beginning, is always having a method of quick capture. So what would happen is I'd have an idea, or there'd be some sort of action item, or I'd think I need to do this or that. And I'd remember, I'd be like, okay, I'll remember that. But of course I never remembered. So one change I made at first was to carry around a paper field notes notebook, which is this small portable notebook. And for a lot of people, carrying around a notebook is the right answer. For me, I actually do it on my phone using an app called Drafts on iOS, which you talked about a lot. And for me, if there's something I need to get down, an idea, an action item, a book I want to read, something like that, I just whip out Drafts, get it down, and then go from there later. So that's been really, really powerful for me. What do you use for quick capture? I don't even know.
Yeah, big fan of Drafts as well. And I think the key to making Drafts work for me is that I have to go through my sort of quote unquote inbox in Drafts every Sunday just to make sure stuff gets moved around properly, right? So some people have mentioned to me, well, Tim, why don't you just use the Quick Capture and OmniFocus right away and just put it in there? And yes, technically I could, but there's actually more stuff that I put in there as like random thoughts or ideas rather than task. And so instead of just thinking on the fly, like, is this a task? Is this an idea? Where do I put this? I just put everything in drafts. And then I'll just use my checklist on Sunday when I do my weekly review to say, okay, checked off, going through drafts inbox. And then when I go through my drafts inbox, it doesn't take more than a few minutes, honestly. And from there, I'll move stuff over to OmniFocus if needed, or I'll put stuff in Evernote, or I'll have to do some more research on the fly and so on. So I find drafts would be really helpful with the caveat that you do some sort of weekly review to kind of clean up that inbox, because it could be a dumping ground for a lot of things. I don't know if that's the case for you, but it was for me for so long. And the way to make that work is making sure you clean up that inbox.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned weekly review, because that was my next one, is making a weekly review. And I say weekly review, whatever time period works for you, but making a regular review of some sort, making it sacred. Because whenever the wheels have fallen off productivity-wise, whenever I've all of a sudden started not getting things done or not made progress on the bigger picture things I needed to do, it always comes back to me getting kind of slacker about doing reviews, and then things just don't move forward. So that's been a big thing for me, is making weekly reviews or whatever the period is sacred and something I really stick to. So that's been a big one for me as well. Another big one is automation. So being more proactive when it comes to automation. And that might surprise some people, because we recorded a podcast not too long ago, TPS 262, about our favorite automation wins. And we've recently released a course, Automation Academy. So obviously I'm pretty big into automation, but there are a lot of things I could have done more. And even now there's more things I could automate to really up the level and save even more time. So having a more kind of proactive mindset when it comes to automation and not just dealing with things I do regularly, I think is something I really could have helped me make more progress.
Yeah, I think you make an awesome point there, just because as we were going through Automation Academy and building that course out, where we teach people how to automate repetitive tasks and free up 5 hours a week, I just started mentally doing all this math of all the sort of compounding effects that automation has had in my own personal life. And just the other day, we were teaching live in front of our Automation Academy students, and we were going over like email filters as an example. And I remember showing people like, hey, this is an email filter I created. Oh, wait, this was back in 2009. This is like 10 years ago when I set this up. And it's still working today and still paying dividends every single day, right? And I totally forgot about that until we went live and we were just going over our email filters and rules. And as we're building the course out, it just reminded me of that too, of like all the compound interests we've had from just having all these automations in place. And just like you, the sooner you implement it, the more proactive you are about it in the beginning, the more time benefit you just get over time, right? And when people see your workflows and text expander library and all that stuff, they think like that got created in one afternoon. But no, it actually took us like many years to build that library out of workflows and automations and stuff. And we recommend you do that too. But you can shortcut that whole process, right? Which is why we wanted to build Automation Academy for those people. But just like you, man, if I had to be, you know, 2007 tan again, that's one of the first things I would start implementing too.
Yeah. And I think one takeaway for people could be to be a bit more strict about the 3 times rule. So that's something we talk about internally a lot, that if something has, you have to do something 3 times, or if something's bugging you 3 times, it's time to stop, make it an action item to fix it rather than just putting up with it. And I think it's something for me to remember going forward, but definitely in the past, if I had been more ruthless with the 3 times rule, that would have been really, really helpful. Starting a business takes dedication, creativity, and courage. Unfortunately for most business owners, it also involves admin tasks, drafting documents, and hunting down payments. If you don't want to have to deal with those tasks, and who does, then you need HoneyBook. HoneyBook is the number one choice for client and business management for freelancers and business owners. It's an online business management tool that organizes your client communications, bookings,
contracts, and invoices all in one place. HoneyBook can even consolidate services you already use like QuickBooks, Google Suite, Excel, and MailChimp or Gmail. So save time and do more of what you love with HoneyBook. You probably know that we love automation on the podcast, and I love how HoneyBook lets you set up automated client workflows. You can send immediate responses to prospects, automate appointment requests, and automate all the follow-ups, thank yous, and payment reminders so your process is bulletproof. This lets you be more productive and focus on building your business, not on doing admin tasks. And right now, HoneyBook is offering our listeners 50% off when you visit honeybook.com/TPS. Payment is flexible, and this promotion applies whether you pay monthly or annually. Go to honeybook.com/TPS for 50% off your first year. That's honeybook.com/TPS. Thanks to Grammarly for supporting the Productivity Show. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. Grammarly is a great writing assistant that will make you look and sound smarter, and you can show off your best self through writing wherever you are on whatever device you're using. Grammarly is available across a bunch of different platforms like a Chrome, Firefox, Safari, or Edge web browser extension, a Mac or Windows desktop app, and they even have mobile covered on iOS and Android. The free version of Grammarly will check your spelling and grammar, but Grammarly Premium will also check advanced punctuation, structure, style, context, conciseness, readability, and give you vocabulary suggestions. You can even tailor it for whatever type of writing you're doing. So accomplish your goals with help from Grammarly. Stop making email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work this year with your emails. Polish your resume to get that new job. Now, recently I was working from a cafe in a ground floor of an office building, and at the next table, some coworkers were talking about their team's communication and just general office chatter. Then one of them was gushing about this great tool she was using to review her spelling and grammar and to improve her vocabulary and conciseness. She was going on and on about it, and I'm sure you can guess what tool she was using. Grammarly. She said she finds it so powerful that she's going to roll it out to her whole department. Grammarly is offering the Productivity Show listeners 20% off a Grammarly premium account. So go to grammarly.com/TPS to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's grammarly.com/TPS for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. Okay, so that is time of the T framework. So let's move on to energy, because energy is a really, really big thing. We've done a number of podcasts about energy. So what are some things, Tam, that you would change or lessons you've learned around energy to really help?
The number one thing for energy, for me at least, is drum roll, sleep. Okay. This is like the most boring thing in the world. But ever since I have my Oura Ring and I've been tracking everything when it comes to my health, I just noticed that sleep is like the 80-20 of just having more energy. So if you sleep well, you sleep enough, your quality of sleep is good, you nap frequently, these are all things that just give you so much energy. And most of us just walk around with not enough sleep. We're sleep deprived, we have a lot of sleep debt, and just getting a good night of sleep seems to be a thing that most people struggle with nowadays. And what I would say, knowing what I know now, and if I had to go back to being 2017 again, I would say, you know, get sleep as much as you can. Even when you're young and you think you're invincible, still focus on that sleep. Still focus on that recovery side of things as much as possible. We're all great at sacrificing sleep. We're all great at doing more work, staying up longer, making sure we get stuff done on the weekends and yada, yada, yada. But I think there's going to be a big shift over the next couple of years when it comes to recovery and productivity that I think is going to be really interesting. And I would just really harp on sleep as much as you can. So whatever you can do now to improve your sleep, right? We have a sleep course inside the dojo. So for those who are dojo members, if you haven't checked it out, what the hell are you waiting for? Go inside the dojo right now and go through that sleep course. It's amazing. And it just shows you the power of sleep. And one of the best things you can do is just to go to bed a little earlier, right? And the secret to waking up earlier, for example, is not to go to bed at 1 a.m., right? Secret to waking up earlier, if you want to do that, is to go to bed a little earlier. And so oftentimes, you know, sleep and waking up early doesn't have to be, you know, conflicting ideas. You can have both if you want to, because I know sometimes people want to wake up early to get more stuff done. So I would just recommend try to go to bed a little earlier. So that's the main thing I would say.
Yeah, sleep is something we almost don't want to talk about as much on the podcast, just because we've done it a lot. In fact, a while ago, I don't remember which episode it was, but Marmel was putting together the outline for it, but I kind of said what we wanted it to be. And one instruction I gave was, you're not allowed to include napping as one of the tips, just because it's something we say a lot. But it is true. It is so foundational. Ken in the dojo, we record these episodes live in front of our dojo audience, which is our online productivity community. And one thing Ken just said in response is that his Aura ring has really made him realize how true it is and how important sleep is. He had no idea how poor his sleep was until he got his ring, and now he's on a continuous quest to improve it. And it's true. It's just so foundational, because energy in general, but sleep in particular, has such a knock-on effect to everything else you're trying to do throughout the day.
So Ken mentioned here live as well that his REM sleep is particularly low. So I've been super diligent about just improving my deep sleep and my REM sleep and just trying many different things. And one of the early discoveries I'm making is that if you want to improve your REM sleep, it basically comes down to the more you can quiet down the mind before you go to bed, the better your REM sleep will be and the more you'll get of it. So an example would be to journal before you go to bed. An example would be to meditate before you go to bed, right? So if you do these two things, you'll start to see that your REM sleep goes up. Or another way of saying this is the fewer open loops you have in your head and the less stressful you are before you go to bed, the better the quality of REM sleep you will get, and more of it as well. Deep sleep is more of a physical thing, like lots of body temperature regulation is involved with that, how hard you worked out that day, that kind of stuff. But REM sleep is mostly a mindfulness thing. So if that's something you want to improve upon, definitely go do that. And we covered this in more detail inside our sleep course as well. So moving on, the other thing I would say that would have a big impact on energy would be exercise. So this is not going to come to a surprise for most of you, right? Exercising on a regular basis is a healthy thing, gives you lots of energy. And I think the caveat or the tricky thing about exercise is that we easily get adapted to how we feel over time. And so if you feel amazing and that's like the new standard, right? If you start to slowly like taper down, you start to exercise less and less and less. Like once you feel like 50% or so of what you know you could be, after a while it just feels like normal, right? And you kind of forget how amazing you can be and how amazing you can feel when you exercise on a regular basis. And so I don't try to gauge myself anymore based on how I feel nowadays, because I just know that that's a very misleading thing. I just gauge myself now on, yeah, am I sleeping enough? And also, am I exercising on a regular basis, right? If I do these two things well, I know I can be at my best. And that's when I have the most focus. That's when I have the most energy. That's when I can power through if needed, right? And if there's a lot of stress coming my way, I can handle it now, or I can handle it a lot better without, you know, feeling like I'm feeling burned out or something, right? So exercising 3 times a week, you know, whatever you need to do, like, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole necessarily from, oh, no, you have to do hot yoga to walking on a trail or something. Whatever exercise you do, get your heart rate up at least a few times a week. Lift some weights as well, right? Build that strength up. Because people who do a lot of strength training tend to live longer as well. So that's something that's a good benefit to be aware of.
So you mentioned exercising 3 times a week. Do you find that that's the optimal amount versus say 5 times a week? So you learn that maybe other amounts were too much, or is that just kind of a minimum, the 3 times that you feel?
When it comes to just the research studies that I've seen, 3 times is kind of like the minimum. And I think it's the most realistic for most people, right? Maybe it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule kind of thing. Or for me, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. I do 4 times a week. But it also just depends on your goals. But I would say if it's just maintaining health, based on the research and personal trainers that I've talked to, like 3 times a week is usually a good gauge.
All right. So I will share some of my things that I've learned from energy that I've really fixed up. One of them is switching from coffee in the afternoons to green tea. That's made a really big difference for me. This is actually it's funny we're recording this today, especially after we talked about the sleep thing, because I had an absolute disaster sleep last night. And the reason was because I happened to have some coffee in the car in a thermal mug. And in the evening while we were driving around, I was just kind of like mindlessly sipping on it. And I knew it was a bad idea, but I just did it anyway. And it was a complete disaster sleep night for me. But extrapolating out from that, I found that after lunchtime, if I am feeling a little low on energy, just having some green tea really helps and hasn't created any issues for me. Whereas if I have coffee later in the afternoon, it's no good. So that's been a big lesson for me, green tea all the way.
I knew I had a problem when I was drinking pre-workouts as my regular way to boost myself, because I just finished writing up the newsletter that went out today. And I was sharing a story of how I needed to drink a pre-workout drink every single day just to power through. And that's when I knew I had a problem. And the only time you would really use a pre-workout is when you really go hard at the gym, right? When you're really trying to get that extra pump or extra motivation to go hard. But I just needed it to sit through a seminar or go through a bunch of workshop or just go through my day today. And that's when I knew, oh man, Tian, this is bad. Like, this is not good.
Yeah. The other thing that has really helped, and you touched on this, is be more intentional with my morning routines. So don't wait until I feel like exercising, like you said. Don't wait till I feel like, or I quote unquote have time for meditating, that sort of thing. Make it into my morning routine. Make it so it's something I do automatically every single day. And then it kind of takes care of itself. If I try to wait till I have time for things or I feel like things, that for me personally, just doesn't work. It's got to be automatic. And that's been really helpful for me.
Don't feel like it. Just do it.
Just do it. That's right. All right. So we've talked about time. We've talked about energy. Let's talk about attention. So this getting focused, not being distracted, things that have really helped for me and for you. So why don't we start with you, Tan. What are some things that have really helped with your attention?
The number one strategy I would recommend for people when it comes to attention is called eat that frog. So if you've been following Asian efficiency for a while, you know we talk about this concept all the time. And it is for a good reason, because it's so powerful, so effective, yet so simple. And the idea is that you just do the most important thing first every single day, right? So it comes from the saying, if you eat a live frog every morning, you can go on with the rest of your day knowing that's probably the worst thing that has happened to you. And the big idea there is that if you get the most important thing done first, everything else on your to-do list or anything else that comes your way is relatively easy to do then. Because once you get the ugly task out of the way first, you feel this level of confidence, you have this momentum on the side, you got that ugly thing out of the way first, you don't have to procrastinate on it anymore or wait until some perfect time or circumstance in the afternoon to actually get it done. No, just as soon as you wake up, you show up for work, get the ugly thing out of the way first. Just eat it first, get it done, right? And then do all the other things you need to do. And if you just focus on doing that, you'll just see that one, most of us have the most control of our day in the early parts of our day, and we also tend to have the most energy around that time as well, right? So if you can control the circumstances in the morning and also the focus that you have that around that particular time, it makes it more likely for you to actually get the most important stuff done. And sometimes what will happen is, you know, you will get your frog done, right? You ate your frog, and then emergencies will just come up, right? Stuff just comes onto your plate. Stuff you have to cancel at the last moment, or stuff now you have to move around. But even if that happens, you can go on with the rest of your day knowing that you got your most important thing done, right? So that's why I always recommend that you start off with learning eat that frog. And if you combine it with the Pomodoro technique that I mentioned earlier, if you can Pomodoro technique your frog every single day, that's like a lethal combination, I would say, when it comes to building your own personal productivity system, which, you know, again, I wouldn't recommend you do from scratch, but if there's something you're going to do, make sure you eat your frog.
Yeah, especially I like how you say layering in the Pomodoro technique too, because I found that really, really helpful if it's a frog that I know I need to do, but I just cannot get myself to get going. I know once I start, it's going to be totally fine, and it'll probably be way easier than I think it will be. But if for those things where it's just tough to get started, then layering in that Pomodoro technique to just make sure you know you're at least going to do 25 minutes and then quote unquote, let's see what happens after that is really, really powerful. So yeah, I use the Pomodoro for the frog eating all the time.
So another thing that is more of a high level strategy would be to say, if you can have 2 hours of uninterrupted time every single day, then your level of focus is going to go up tremendously, right? So think of the 2 hour focus time that you have every day as the bar that you want to shoot for, right? And I would say anybody that does this, including me today, if I can get 2 hours of uninterrupted time, I know I'm having a really productive day. So this is more of an overall concept I want you to shoot for, because if you're being really honest with yourself, you'll see that most of us actually don't achieve that whatsoever, right? Or another way of saying this is, if you work 5 days in a week, if you can get 10 hours of focus time in every single week, that's extremely powerful, right? So that's like 4 Pomodoros a day. And most people cannot even do that, right? And sometimes I'm struggling with that too. So I always just remember 2 hours of focus time. I just need that, because that's when I can get like 80% of the most important things done. So that's the one thing I would say you want to set the bar for when it comes to just getting more attention in the right places.
And sometimes you need to be creative with this, or you need to be ruthless around this. Because I know we were talking about this on a recent podcast about actually related to exercise, which we were just talking about. And you were saying how if it was up to you, you would prefer to roll out of bed and hit the gym and work out and do your exercising in the morning. However, for you, you wanted to have that 2 hours of uninterrupted time, or at least set yourself up for success for doing that. So you intentionally changed your workout time to later, which would not be your necessarily first choice, but you realize that you have to make those kind of sacrifices in the right word, but make those kind of decisions in order to have that 2 hours of free time and or uninterrupted time. I shouldn't say free time. And like you said, it's a bar to shoot for. You might listen to that and you might say, there is no way I'm going to be able to get 2 hours of free time. And if that might be absolutely true, but it can be something you work towards. Maybe it's half an hour of uninterrupted time. And then maybe later you can expand it. Whatever it is you can do, start with that, and then you can kind of work from forward. Don't wait until you somehow have 2 hours.
Yeah, like another way of thinking about this is that I think 1 hour blocks are more realistic for most people, right? And if you can have 2 1-hour blocks, that's really powerful, right? And if you can have one block of 2 hours of uninterrupted time, that's even better. But 2 blocks of 1 hour focus time is just as powerful. But it's not the same thing as 4 blocks of 15 minutes of focus time, right? So even though it kind of plays against the Pomodoro technique, right, where you work in 25-minute increments, the reason we recommend that is because that's a great beginner's tool, right? And if you can use that consistently, then you'll be able to move up your focus level to, say, be able to focus for 45 minutes and then up to an hour. And then most people who start off can't even focus for 5 minutes, right? So that's already mind-blowing if they start using the Pomodoro technique. But the goal to shoot for eventually is to be able to have 2 hours of uninterrupted time. You might have to be unreasonable in terms of how you make your schedule, how you communicate with your boss or coworkers, and so on. But that's, based on my experience now, is just the most optimal thing you can do, right? So rather than shooting for, let's say, 4 increments of 25 minutes of, you know, Pomodoros, try to move eventually towards 2 hours of just complete focus, right? So use the Pomodoro technique as training wheels, right? And I still use it today, especially when I'm procrastinating. If I'm procrastinating, that's my number one technique that I use to kind of like overcome that. But once I like get past that, I'm like, ah, okay, I got that, you know, activation energy out of the way. Let's just go. Then I'm good to go usually. But it's just, you know, let's shoot for 2 hours every single day. And if you do more than that, kudos to you, right? So my third tip for that would also be thinking time. So when it comes to improving your attention and becoming less distracted and just more focused on doing the right thing, thinking time is one of those tools where I think most people just don't know how to do this. And also, it's not often talked about. And so we talked about this for the first time on the podcast on episode 162. So go to theproductivityshow.com/162. And we'll dive deeper into that. But the basic idea is that you want to block off time to really think. And that sounds really counterintuitive because you're not actually, quote unquote, doing stuff or working stuff. But you want to spend time thinking for, let's say, 30 minutes to an hour every single week, just about problems you're having, challenges, opportunities. Are you focusing on the right thing? Are you know, this is also the time to question whatever you're doing. Is that even the right thing? Should you even be committed to these kind of things? Right. And if you go to that episode, we'll have prompts for you as well that you can just use and just use that template and just ask yourself these questions. And we'll force you to start thinking about that sort of stuff. And knowing what I know now, I wish I implemented thinking time sooner than later. And if you're a Dojo member, we have a whole course on thinking time as well. So just log into the Dojo and you'll be able to get into that as well. And if you're listening and you're like, Tan and Brooks are always talking about the Dojo. What is this thing? Well, it's our productivity library that comes with a community. So if you haven't gone into the Dojo yet, you want to check it out and get access to all of these courses that we just mentioned, just go to theproductivityshow.com/dojo. You'll be able to try it out for just $1 for your first month. So go check that out and implement some thinking time. So the last tip for me when it comes to attention is looking at your goals every single morning. This is so simple, but if you make it part of your morning ritual, just look at your goals for maybe a minute or two, it just kind of gets your brain going in the right direction, right? So when you know that your goal is to publish a book and you look at your long to-do list of 15 things that are on there, there'll be maybe one or two tasks that really align with your goal, right? And when you know what your goal is every single morning and you look at it, then whenever you look at your to-do list, you'll just naturally scan and look for the things that align with that. And so I think it's so simple, yet so powerful to do. And if you're not doing this already, then I recommend you do this right away.
Yeah, this was a question we just had in a recent Dojo Live coaching call that we had with our Dojo members. And somebody asked, how do you avoid that problem of out of sight, out of mind, where you have your goals, you have your plan, and you do write it down. Like you do the thing everybody says to do, which is write down your goals or whatever. But then you write it down and then it's kind of off somewhere. And yeah, your response I thought was really perfect. If you're looking at your goals every single morning, you don't ever have that out of sight, out of mind problem because it just becomes an automatic thing that you do every morning. So if you're worried about, or if you're struggling to remember to make action on your goals, that is a great way to do it. All right. So for me, some of the things that have really helped with attention, the first is to, one thing I learned is to not switch to a tool just because a blogger I respect or a podcaster or a YouTuber or whatever mentioned it or mentions that they use it. Like just because a tool works well for person X does not necessarily mean it's going to work for me. Or even if it would be a perfectly great tool for me, it may not be worth the switching costs, like you said earlier, Tan, of moving, changing what I'm doing and disrupting what I'm doing. It's better, like you said, to stick with a tool that you're fine with than it is to disrupt everything just because something's new and shiny and just because all the bloggers are talking about it on Twitter or something like that. So that's a lesson I learned a long time ago that I wish I knew even earlier because it really would have saved me a lot of switching cost and time.
Yeah. So whatever we recommended today, just don't use that. Don't switch over.
That's right. Exactly. Good life lesson there. Do not do the recommendations that we make. The next one is something that is very difficult for me, but I'm getting much better at it now. And I wish I had gotten much better on it earlier, which is to be okay asking people for help if it helps you with your focus time. So for me, for example, maybe and this is especially possibly true for parents, is if I'm working on something, but maybe I need to take my kids somewhere, I'm getting better at maybe asking some of the other parents on the team or asking some grandparents if they could do it or if I could, you know, go away, have some time, quiet time to focus, something like that. I'm getting a lot more proactive about asking for help to create space for me to have that focus and distraction time, which is not something I did earlier. And the crazy thing is people are always happy to help. Even if you don't give them the really good reason that you have, people are happy to help. You just need to ask. And so that's been a really helpful for me with my focus and attention.
That's one thing I mentioned this morning as well when I was writing the newsletter for Asian Efficiency. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, you can go to asianefficiency.com/newsletters and sign up there. And one of the things I mentioned in there is that one of the biggest breakthroughs I've had is being unreasonable. And the reason I say being unreasonable is that in our minds, when we make these requests, we think we're being unreasonable, right? We think we're asking for something big or for something crazy, when in fact, most people actually want to help us. And there are so many reasons why people want to help us and be supportive of what we do, and especially when it comes to people in our team and in our company. And sometimes you just have to ask. But in our head, we make it such a big thing that we tend to not want to do it, or we tend to think that, you know, we look bad if we ask for help, or it's a sign of weakness somehow. And it's not. Everybody wants to help each other. And it's kind of funny when, you know, you're the person, Brooks, especially you, you're the one who's always helping other people all the time, right? And people I know want to reciprocate with you. And sometimes you just got to make it easy for them to do so when you just, you know, make that request out there. And that's something I struggled with for so many years too. And now I'm like kind of the opposite. I'm like, yo, I need something done. I'm just going to ask for it and just see what happens. And the more lazy I can be, the better. So let's just go with that route.
I'm having flashbacks to about 1,000 conversations I've had with my wife on this very topic, but that's for a different podcast. Okay, so we've gone through time, energy, and attention. So we're going to wrap it up with, I guess, kind of like a lightning round of some bonus tips that have worked for us or worked for other members of the dojo. Many dojo members have shared their tips with us, so we want to share them with you. So we're just going to kind of quickly go through some lightning round bonus tips that we found helpful. So I'll start off. So one thing that it's really, really helpful that I wish I did a lot earlier is have a second power cable for my laptop versus plugging it, unplugging it, getting it out of my bag, blah, 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 when I'm going around. No, have one hooked up to my desk, have another one in my bag. It just makes life so much easier.
So one for me would be to have reversible clothing whenever you're traveling for extended periods of time. So if you're going on a clothes shopping binge anytime soon and you're going to be traveling a lot, I would invest in some reversible clothes. So I have a jacket that is reversible. One side it's a blazer, one side it's like a field jacket. Same thing for other shirts and stuff and t-shirts and even underwear. So the more reversible it is, the more space and time you save.
All right, another one for me. And this kind of goes against what we were talking about switching apps. But when it does make sense to switch apps, be more willing to spend money on a tool that will actually help me. So just as a simple example, I've used OmniFocus for years and years. However, I hemmed and hawed about buying OmniFocus for ages before actually buying it. I was, you know, waiting for it to go on the Black Friday sale, which never happened. I just was like, oh no, you know, I'll stick with this and this. And then once I did switch to it and implement it, you know, it's been the bedrock of my system for years and years and years. Totally worth it. But I just had a mental block about doing it. And actually, Phil in the dojo raised a similar point, which is looking at those more powerful programs like InDesign or ScreenFlow, which is a product I also use and I've got a ton of benefit from. Look at that like an investment versus a cost burden. If it's a tool that will really, really help you and especially will help you make money, be more willing to spend it on that.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I was so reluctant to purchase OmniFocus for $80 at that time. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like who's spending all this money? But one of the things I've learned over time is what I call minimalist luxury. And that is my second tip here, is that you want to buy the nicest thing that you can afford and just use that. So you don't have to replace it every few years or buy new things, right? So an example is the headphones that we use are the Bose QC35s and 25s. And at the time of purchase, they were like the best headphones possible, right? And we've all been there where we buy a pair of headphones and then we don't like it, or it's okay, and then it breaks down after a year or two and then you have to replace it, right? But these ones are like amazing. They're great on ear. I love using it. The design is beautiful. It just makes you happy when you touch a product like that. And imagine if every item you have in your life is like that, you know, within your means, right? So for example, examples of products that I have is like the headphones, my carry-on, certain journals that I use, right? My laptop bag. Like these are all things I use frequently. Same thing with my MacBook. Like anytime I buy a new MacBook, I just go all out and then I don't have to replace it for like 5 or 6 years. And then I enjoy using it every single time I touch it. So whenever you can, go minimalist luxury.
My next one is, I'm not going to go into too much detail on this because we talked about it extensively in TPS 252, but it's around travel related. So focus on packing light and smart and a way you can easily get around the airport. Have packing lists and use them. Have standardized kind of pre-packaged travel stuff. So like I have a little packing cube that's full of different cables and chargers and stuff like that that I'm pretty much only use when I travel. Have that packed and ready to go. Tammy mentions having a spare charging cable, like a 3-in-1. So that's a perfect example of something that you want to use when traveling that has a micro USB, a lightning, and a USB-C all in one. Having that sort of stuff packed and ready to go, really, really helpful. I wish I did that a long time ago. Okay. So we're going to wrap up just by sharing a few tips from members of the dojo that they've been sharing. Really great tips here. Number one from Katie, which is invest the time to learn how to use your tool of choice properly from the beginning. So we've talked about being okay with implementing a tool. And the next one is to really learn how to actually use it from the beginning, because just that little bit of time you spend up front will pay off over and over again because you're faster and easier to work with it.
So next up, we have Joshua. Hey, Joshua, hope you're listening. So Joshua mentions automating the naming and filing of any document you receive more than once and digitize everything you can. And this goes hand in hand what we've been talking about for the last few months about automation. But he also mentions that you want to have a digital backup for everything and ideally have it fireproof safe and keeping a copy in a safety deposit somewhere so you can update it twice a year and make sure that all the data that you have is up to date and also secure. So if you're somebody who really cares about that, it's one of those things where prevention is better than when it actually happens, right? So want to make sure that we are proactive about that too.
The next tip is from Phil, which is he grounded himself more in what is a productive approach to work and not just assume that you kind of pick this, you magically learn all this stuff as you age and you kind of like learn it through osmosis, but actually be proactive. So look for productivity knowledge out there, tap into a productivity community. This is one thing he just mentioned in the Dojo Slack as we're recording, that it's important to tap into a good community that can advise you in the areas of things like what is some great software, what are some great packing lists you can use, like all that sort of stuff. Search the stuff out. Don't just try to figure out and do everything yourself. Tap into a community to help with that.
I love the next tip from another Joshua. And he mentions, never check or respond to an email outside of working hours. Hallelujah, Joshua. I think everybody can agree with that, right? So if you're somebody who has a hard time shutting down, right, you have a hard time kind of like distinguishing work and personal, just make a rule for yourself to not check and reply to emails outside of working hours. So as soon as you go home, right, you leave the office, just don't check email whatsoever. And if people really need you, have them call or text you if needed.
All right, and our final tip is from Matt, which is check that the education or career, or this really applies to anything, but check whether it's something that you're working towards is actually your own desire or if you're kind of fulfilling someone else's desire. So are you going to law school because you want to be a lawyer or because, say, your parents think you should be a lawyer? So something like that. It's that concept of, is the ladder even up against the right tree to begin with, let alone how to climb that ladder more efficiently. So those are some tips for the things we wish we learned, the things we would apply if we were starting again from scratch. Remember, like we said earlier, it's never too late to think about the things that you're doing, how you do them, and how you can make things better. We would really love to hear from you what are some things that you wish you learned or some things that you would do if you were starting from scratch. So you can hit us up at Asian Efficiency on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on Instagram. Yeah, and let us know what you would change when you are starting over. We're really, really curious what your thoughts are on this one. So thank you so much and talk to you later. At Asian Efficiency, we believe that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get things done. You should be able to get everything done in the time that you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity, and within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Don't let your never-ending to-do list drag you down and stop sacrificing your health and family to get things done. Take the quiz today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. You can also find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/274. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.